Every new year confronts an empty sky. Does that sound familiar to anyone? We'll look at that and much more after I welcome you to episode 22 of Navigating the Energies of Life, a podcast that looks at how the energies of the Maya calendar are at work in the world and how they apply to daily lives. This is Marguerite Paquin, continuing with this podcast to accompany my horoscope blog that tracks the days of this calendar. As always, we're working here with a calendrical system that involves 20 solar-based energies working in conjunction with 13 unique numerical powers to create a cycle of 260 days. Or a count of days, referred to in Yucatec Maya as a Zolkin. Each of the 260 days in the cycle is unique. Each one ties in with events not only going on in the world, but also in people's individual lives, as every person carries the energetic imprint of the forces that were in play at the time of their birth. The influence of those energies on world events and people's lives is the focus for both the blog and this podcast, which is done by tracking the Trisenas, the 13-day periods that cycle within this system, with each one having a different emphasis or theme. We're now working with the energies of the Men or Eagle Trisena, relating to supremacy and lofty vision that began on Sunday, January 3rd. This is the first full Trisena of 2021. Back to that poetic line. Every new year confronts an empty sky. If any of you saw the videos of the amazing drone display that lit up Scotland's skies to mark Edinburgh's Hogmanay at the end of the year, you'll likely recognize that line from the poem by Jackie Kay that accompanied the display. The presentation involved 150 lit drones flying like a flock of birds, first over the Scottish Highlands and then down over Edinburgh, where they put on a fantastic light display over Edinburgh Castle. Dancing in the sky to music and to the words of Jackie Kay's farewell poem, the lights formed huge animated images, one of which was a large stag that raced across the sky, and another was an enormous eagle rising over a church spire and then rising high, climbing high into the air. At times, the drones created words such as fare thee well and we are one, 2021. One of the lines from the poem was, we send out hope into the Scottish air. I mention all this not only because it was an amazing demonstration of what technology can do these days, but also because it seemed to herald aspects of the Trisena that was about to begin. This Eagle Trisena, the first full Trisena of 2021. In order to appreciate it, if you were fortunate enough to see it in person, one had to look up to the skies, up to the words and images that were sending out thoughts of hope and new possibilities. And even if you only had a computer screen, it was still awesome to see what had been done. It was a reminder that, once again, we are going through a change, saying farewell to, as Jackie put it in her poem, a year of death, a year of tragedy and great hardship for untold numbers of people all across the planet. And as this eagle-oriented Trisena comes into being, it provides the reminder that although the Gregorian calendar year is changing, the challenges continue. In ancient Mesoamerica and elsewhere, the eagle was seen as a warrior kind of energy. And this energy zone was seen as being oriented around power or the push for power. So the idea of standing up for your convictions or pushing for supremacy can often be seen played out at this time. It's not unusual to see saber rattling of various kinds as people battle for position. That is certainly what's happening in Washington and Georgia and elsewhere as this tricena opens. As everyone is aware, the disastrous dumpster administration is in its last throes. This is the last full tricena for all that nonsense, thank God. As was expected, there are some very disturbing machinations going on in their futile attempt to overturn the results of the election. As this tricena opened with the Washington Post's publication of the transcript and audio that reveals how the deceptor-in-chief berated, begged, and threatened Georgia's Secretary of State to overturn the results of the election in that state. It was not only disturbing, but pathetic. And in the midst of this abomination, there is much discussion about other outrageous political power plays going on, including the small group of Republican senators who are wanting to challenge the Electoral College decision during the formal declaration process in the U.S. Senate on Wednesday, despite the fact that all other efforts to overturn election results have been stamped out due to lack of evidence to support claims of fraud. So all of this is just muckraking and saber-rattling machinations just to try to make sleazy political points. But it won't work because Joe Biden won the election by more than 81 million votes, so he and Kamala Harris will be confirmed and things will move forward. They will be sworn in on the fifth day of the next tricena. But before that, there will be much more saber-rattling. This time to do with the hotly contested Georgia runoff elections that will decide which party controls the U.S. Senate. I think that most people who are following this are aware that if Democrats win both seats in that election, the Senate will be an exact 50-50 split, meaning that soon-to-be Vice President Kamala Harris will have the tie-breaking vote on any issue that comes up in that chamber. Election officials in Georgia have had to endure weeks of harassment and outright threats from the tormentor-in-chief, and now the Washington Post has that hour-long recording, so this is certainly not the end of that story. Does this not sound somewhat like the Watergate tape that was the smoking gun for Richard Nixon? In any case, Wednesday's results and the whole aftermath of that battle will have major implications for much of what's to follow. Apparently, over 3 million votes have already been cast in this runoff, which is a record, so we'll soon see how that plays out. On another front, as we all know, the battle against the unseen enemy called COVID-19 is continuing on. So this is not the time to remove our armor and let down our guard in that regard. Just to put that into perspective, now listen carefully to this one. The last time we welcomed in the Eagle Tricena on April 18th, the global number of COVID-19 cases was just over 2.25 million. reaching 3.3 million before the tracina ended on April 30th. So that was an increase of over a million cases within that 13-day span. But now, this is increasing at a rate of 1 million cases every 1 to 2 days. As we begin this tracina this time, California alone has more cases than the entire planet had one cycle ago. And the situation there has been described as catastrophic, as they have run out of places to treat people. One cycle ago, there were just over 760,000 cases in the U.S. Now, there are over 21 million, and over 360,000 people have died there. And why was that? Well, we've seen it all play out. The dumpster's denial of the pandemic, the stalling, the lying, the disorganization, the gross, gross incompetencies. But one of the most staggeringly jaw-dropping episodes came in the middle of this tracina one cycle ago, when the dumpster suggested injecting people with disinfectant to fight the coronavirus. Social media erupted with both laughter and outrage at this, and doctors had to rush in and warn the public against following this kind of suggestion. As I noted in the blog, Walter Schaub, the former director of the Office of Government Ethics, said at the time that it was incomprehensible to him that a moron like that holds the highest office in the land, and that there exist people stupid enough to think this is okay. He said he couldn't believe that in 2020 he had to caution anyone listening to the president that injecting disinfectant could kill them. And he certainly wasn't the only one with choice words about this outrageous suggestion. And all this was on the heels of the dumpster's championing of hydroxychloroquine, an anti-malaria drug, as some kind of cure, even though research had found no evidence that it was beneficial for this kind of application. To boot, a government vaccine expert was fired for limiting the use of that drug, one of many specialists who had lost their jobs just for telling the truth over the past 4 years. But again, to put this into perspective, because this is the same energy sequence as when all this was going on last April, at the midpoint of this tracina last April, a meltdown kind of press conference was held at the White House that clearly revealed how badly the dumpster's bizarre statements had shaken his administration. The New York Times reported that some officials in the White House thought it was one of the worst days in one of the worst weeks of his presidency. Many saw this as a tipping point, with his own advisors warning that the televised briefings were hurting him far more than they were helping. The Guardian noted that the dumpster's familiar turf of attacking the media was not working. In the middle of a pandemic, with Americans dying in their hundreds every day, his jumbled, inaccurate assertions only deepened concerns about his embrace of flawed science that could endanger public health. And even at that, through it all, Republicans never did step in to do anything about it. Actually, that was the title of an article in the UK's Guardian at that time. Specifically, the title was, "Trump is a danger to the American people, but the Republicans refuse to stop him." In the article, journalist Suzanne Moore wrote that she has read many psychological profiles about the dumpster, in which she found that he had been diagnosed as a malignant narcissist, where the suggestions were that he has a cognitive impairment or suffers from delusional thinking or a sociopathic inability to experience basic empathy. But as she said, he carries on, vilified, a laughingstock, a pathetic mobster, but with the support of the right-wing establishment. Focusing on his latest lunacy is entertainment. How the Republican Party keeps him in power is the issue, for it is they who enable him. The tipping point will be reached when they decide to take him down. That was what she wrote one cycle ago. And now we're seeing, as some were discussing just yesterday morning, when the Washington Post recording was released, a crumbling of the Republican Party from within as they battle amongst themselves over the issue of contesting the electoral results of the election, right down to the wire of the final confirmation of Joe Biden this week. So that was what was going on last April. But during that same time, ta-da, New Zealand claimed basically the elimination of coronavirus in that country as new cases had fallen to single digits. And as we could all see a few days ago, New Zealand was back, partying without restrictions as they celebrated the arrival of 2021 COVID-free. Well done, guys. In the UK, Prime Minister Boris Johnson returned to work during this period, again last April, after battling his own case of COVID-19 for 3 weeks and being in the hospital. At that time, he was urging people to stay the course and remain isolated. But basically, he acted too late because the case numbers and deaths in that country have skyrocketed since then. Currently, they have the sixth largest number of cases in the world and are neck and neck with Italy as having the fifth highest number of deaths. Since they've been averaging upwards of 54,000 new cases a day recently, Johnson announced today a third national lockdown for the UK, telling people that as of tomorrow, all schools in England must close for at least 6 weeks, and tough new restrictions will be in place. National Health Service officials are recommending the UK alert level should move to level 5, since the NHS is on the brink of being overwhelmed. So, tying in with this time frame, I have spoken before about every Tresina within the 260-day cycle being overseen by one or two patron deities. These are essentially metaphors for the nature of the overall period. For this period, the principal patron is a deity known to the Aztecs as Xochiquetzal, flower feather, a goddess aligned with artistry, creativity, household arts, and fertility. There is a warrior aspect to this, along the lines of being warriors for a cause, including, traditionally, women who died in childbirth who were esteemed for their bravery. The Aztec used to have a class of warriors called Eagle Warriors, based on the idea of the power and high vision exhibited by eagles. As illustrated in my blog, there was also a second patron for this time frame, known as Texcatlipoca, who was strongly connected with fire, strength, supremacy, power, and transformation. So this Tresina was seen as being overseen by two very strong forces, aligned with ferocity, as well as with creativity, vision, and caregiving. It might be seen that all of those battling for truth, battling for integrity, battling to protect and provide care for those in dire straits, all those who don their armor, usually in the form of personal protective equipment these days, and pluck up the courage of an eagle to do their bit, will be receiving special support from these deities at this time. It would not be unusual for many to feel a call to action at this time, which can sometimes mean standing up for principles, defending ideological positions such as humanitarian causes, pushing back against injustices, and even dealing with life and death issues, such as those that are so predominant right now. We'll likely see a good deal of that during this period. Certainly in Washington and Georgia, over the next couple of days, many will have to stand up for truth and integrity and honor in the midst of just plain craziness. In speaking about this situation, Senator Chris Van Hollen mentioned the other day that a number of Republicans in Congress have been supporting, quote, a monster who has basically devoured the Republican Party, unquote, as they have been going along with the completely false narratives that the liar-in-chief has been spewing. Journalist Lloyd Green wrote in The Guardian today that if the monsters Republicans carry on with their threat to contest the confirmation process on Wednesday, they will have officially dumped Lincoln and will have become the party of the Confederacy. It's that serious. But the pushback against those who have been supporting all that nonsense has already begun, as just today, a letter signed by nearly 200 of the country's top business leaders, including executives of Fortune 500 companies and leaders of banks, airlines, investment firms, sports leagues, top law firms, and media companies, all argued that attempts to thwart or delay Joe Biden's confirmation process run counter to the essential tenets of democracy. So they and many others, including Republicans who still have spines, are urging Congress to just get on with the certification process. This situation reminds me, in a very sick way, of one of the major plot lines in the Star Wars prequels, which I've recently caught up with. Within the through storyline, they speak of a democratic constitutional republic that had sustained itself for over 25,000 years and was overseen by a huge Senate made up of representatives from across the galaxy. But then some of the senators turned dark and began following the often insidious dictates of a dark lord. And eventually, all hell broke loose. I couldn't help but see some distinct parallels in Washington, since it is so evident that more than a few Republicans have been sucked in, or conned, or manipulated into the darkness. We'll see how this plays out over the next few days. Perhaps a few Jedi warriors will show up with their lightsabers and save the day. So, as always, this Trisina began with the initiating energy of one man, one eagle, on January 3rd. That was when the 117th U.S. Congress was sworn in, and Nancy Pelosi made history once again by securing a fourth term as Speaker of the House of Representatives. Historically, one man is an energy that has brought forth declarations of war, major battles, anti-government demonstrations, and significant calls for reform, and even aggressive actions that have served to advance select interests. In 1810, the Mexican War of Independence kicked off under this influence. In 1861, the Battle of Bull Run, the first major battle of the U.S. Civil War, started on a one-man day. And the following year, the same energy brought the end of the infamous two-day Battle of Shiloh. It was under this influence that the U.S. declared war on Iraq in 2003, and began their invasion of that country. The launch of airstrikes against ISIS groups in Iraq also took place under this influence precisely 16 cycles later, during the summer of 2014. In 2011, the Occupy Wall Street movement against social and economic inequality that spread to hundreds of cities in 82 countries was carried by this same Trisina. Six cycles ago, in 2016, the crumbling city of Aleppo in Syria suffered through significant bombardment throughout this Trisina, with close to 2 million beleaguered residents under severe siege without access to clean water or assistance. At the same time, things were falling apart on the election front in the U.S. It was late September into early October when this Trisina was in place a few weeks before that 2016 presidential election, with the first debate between Clinton and the monster happening on the first day of this Trisina. At that time, many major publications swiftly denounced the creature, who was oozing darkness, and gave their official endorsements to Clinton. And as we all know, the political battling in the U.S. was intense and things were shifting quickly. And now, it's all starting to come back full circle. As it happens, the first day of this current Eagle Trisina marks the first anniversary of the assassination by a U.S. drone strike ordered by the monster-in-chief of General Soleimani, the top Iranian commander. A senior Iraqi militia leader also died in that attack that took place near Baghdad. An attack that seriously escalated the long simmering confrontation between the U.S. and Iran and created the dumpster administration's biggest foreign policy crisis. At this time, just as this Dracaena was coming in, a mock funeral procession and overnight vigil was held by thousands of mourners to mark this anniversary, and anti-American tensions remain very high in the region as Iran has warned of retaliation. This is just one of the many crises created by the monster-in-chief that Joe Biden and his administration are going to have to sort out. The three-day period between January 4th and 6th are going to be particularly consequential. With the transmutational energy of Tuqib being in place today, January 4th, as people try to sort out how to deal with the monster's blatant attempt to interfere with the Georgia elections. This is the day before the Georgia runoffs, with those runoffs taking place on Tuesday's 3 Kaban. That is an activating energy related to movement or earth movement, often significant, as it happens to be coinciding at this time with a new Maya month. So it will be interesting to see what happens here. Most assuredly, this situation will be very, very closely watched. Given the significance of this day and this energy in place at this time, I should mention here that this is the Maya birth energy of Shirley Chisholm, the first African-American woman ever elected to the U.S. Congress, and the first African-American woman ever to run for president. Shirley Chisholm was a force, a trailblazing, visionary warrior who referred to herself as a revolutionary at heart, very much in keeping with the nature of her 3 Kaban birth energy, which, just like this time, also coincided with the beginning of a new Maya month. She was an educator and a staunch fighter for causes, known for her bold declarations. During her first term in Congress, she became one of the founding members of the Congressional Black Caucus, the only woman in that group. And in 1972, she announced her intention to seek the Democratic presidential nomination. In January of that year, she became the first African American to run as a presidential candidate for a major party, and the first woman to vie for the Democratic nomination. Running under the unbought and unbossed campaign slogan, she declared herself to be not the candidate of Black America and not the candidate of the women's movement, but rather the candidate of the people of America, a catalyst for change and a symbol of a new era in American political history. On this day, on this 3 Kaban day, her Maya birthday, we will have an opportunity to see whether Georgia is also ready to make a change, to help bring in another badly needed new era. The following day, January 6th, is the day when the electoral votes will be formally counted and ascertained by a joint session of Congress. This is when Joe Biden and Kamala Harris will be formally declared as the winners of the election. This will be on 4 Etsnab, which is a defining, knife-edged type of energy that can have a lot of fire and dazzle to it. As discussed, there could be some last-gasp dueling at this time by those who are trying to thwart the election results. And as this is an energy that can bring sudden change, we don't know how that dueling will manifest or what the implications might be. But again, all eyes will be on this situation, as this will be the turning point. The last gasp of the dumpster's efforts to change the outcome prior to him leaving the White House 2 weeks later. The day after that, 5 Kawak is a catalytic storm type of energy that could see storm clouds over the White House, as the occupants by this time should be packing their bags and getting ready to exit so that it can be fumigated before the next administration moves in. Sometimes there is a kind of stormy compassion aligned with this energy, but I doubt that this will be the case in Washington at this time. Hard to tell what might manifest at this point, as this is an energy that can greatly stir emotions. As we get into the middle of the Trisena, which is 6 Ahau through to 8 Eek, we are returning to that zone that I discussed earlier with regard to what happened last April under these same influences, when the totally bizarre episode unfolded to do with the dumpster's suggestions about injecting people with disinfectant to fight the coronavirus. 6 Ahau can translate as enlightenment everywhere, and at that time it was obvious to everyone that we were genuinely in crackpot territory with regard to what was happening at the White House. All hope was abandoned about ever getting leadership from that source about how to deal with the pandemic. But there was some good news at that time, as the House of Representatives passed a $484 billion coronavirus relief bill on 7 Emish, an energy associated with birth and the opening up of new potential. This bill made provisions for money to be provided for small businesses, hospitals, and testing. And after it was passed by the Senate 3 days earlier, the dumpster actually signed it into law, even though he was still ranting on about so-called miracle cures. It seemed that the status for further relief bills, including the one currently under debate, will hinge in large part on the outcome of the Georgia runoffs and its connection with the Senate. Overall, the situation is a mess and will take some high vision to sort out. This is where we need to call in some kind of a Jedi eagle to survey the situation with an eagle eye and swoop down to set things right. When we get to the next day, which is 9 Akbal on January the 11th, we encounter the birth energy of someone who seemed to specialize in that sort of thing. This is an energy often aligned with the idea of temple or deep esoteric mysteries and even darkness. And in combination with the force of the number 9, this tends to have long-lasting influence. 6 cycles ago, this was in place when the powerful Hurricane Matthew struck Haiti and Cuba full force, killing over 1,000 people and leaving a long trail of destruction as it headed towards Jamaica and the Bahamas. States of emergency were declared in Florida and other parts of the South, and over 2 million people were forced to evacuate. This is the Maya birth energy of T.E. Lawrence, popularly known as Lawrence of Arabia. Lawrence was a British archaeologist, army intelligence officer, diplomat, military strategist, adventurer, and accomplished writer. Smithsonian Magazine tells us that T.E. Lawrence is one of the most iconic figures of the early 20th century. His life has been the subject of at least 3 movies, over 70 biographies, several plays, and innumerable articles, monographs, and dissertations. His wartime memoir, 7 Pillars of Wisdom, has been translated into more than a dozen languages. Part of his enduring fascination has to do with the exotic nature of his adventures, his championing of downtrodden people, and very likely because of the brilliant portrayal rendered by Peter O'Toole in David Lean's glorious Lawrence of Arabia film. Smithsonian tells us that T.E. Lawrence was a man trapped by divided loyalties, torn between serving the empire whose uniform he wore and being true to those fighting and dying alongside him. It is this struggle that raises the Lawrence saga to the level of Shakespearean tragedy, even though it ultimately ended badly for all concerned. But this is also an interesting example of someone not afraid to work with the eagle warrior energies associated with the time frame in which he was born. He was not afraid to soar, even against seemingly overwhelming odds. Okay, heading towards the end of the Trisena, we come to 11 Chikchan on January 13th. This is inspirational life force, aligned with liberation and higher consciousness. This is a burner day, a special marker kind of day within the 260-day cycle that often signals some kind of change in direction, this time involving the extinguishing of a 60-day energy sequence, often quite consequential. By this time, just 1 week will remain until Joe Biden's inauguration. The following day, 12 Kimi, is the first of several transitional days between one burner sequence and the next. 12 Kimi is a gathering together or regrouping type of energy associated with absolute foundations, the kind of energy that could help to lay the foundations for new ideas or ventures. And at this time, it coincides with the first day of India's Makar Sankranti festival, which is a Hindu astrological holy phase of transition event that marks the return of the sun and light and wisdom. 6 cycles ago, 12 Kimi was in place on what has been seen as one of the most insane and consequential news days in the history of the U.S. just before the 2016 election. All sorts of things were going on then, including a major warning as Hurricane Matthew approached, a major warning from the Obama White House that Russia was trying to actively interfere with the 2016 election, a major report that the pretenders' campaign was blowing up due to major scandals, and then the WikiLeaks release of a cache of stolen Clinton campaign emails, which seemed to have more impact than the warning about Russia, because that set the stage for the forthcoming election from hell. So things could have gone any which way at that time. But this time, with 12 Kimi aligning with that holy phase of transition, it seems to augur well for the transition to a new administration. This is not only Vice President-elect Kamala Harris's Maya birth energy, but also the energy that was in place in 1960 when John F. Kennedy was nominated by the Democratic Party as their candidate. But it was also in place at the time of the death of his brother, Senator Ted Kennedy. That holy phase of transition festival carries on for a second day, tying in with the last day of this Dracaena, which is 13 Manik, transformational deer or stag, which tends to be quite intense. A lot of huge rallies have taken place under this influence. Okay, as always, the days of this Dracaena are highlighted in my account of days horoscope blog at whitepoppress.ca. This horoscope blog can also be accessed through mayacalendararts.com, where you can find earlier podcasts, information on Maya Calendrix, posts on topics such as birth dates and energy cycling, and information on such things as coaching services and personalized artworks. You've seen that I often provide examples of how calendrical energies tie in with events and personal lives in a general way, but these are really only small glimpses, not the deeper levels that can be teased out when looking at people's lives, relationships, and overall life paths in a more in-depth manner, which can really only be done on a one-to-one basis. This can provide a good foundation for making sense of your life, getting a sense of the energy patterns and unseen influences that may be affecting you. For anyone who might like some assistance directly from me in terms of exploring how these energies may work within your own lives, please check out some of the options outlined on that Maya Calendar Arts site. Feel free, if you wish, to contact me if you have any questions. Contact information is in the websites, as well as information on subscribing to the horoscope blog. As I finish off here, let's just look at the final two lines of Jackie Kay's Farewell, the poem that accompanied that dazzling drone display that I talked about at the beginning of this podcast. She concludes the poem with, "And every new year makes a brand new cry, and every new year confronts an empty sky." There is a new palette out there for the eagle to ride on. A new year waiting to be filled with new events, new hopes, new dreams. Let's do everything we can to make it a good one so that we can get out of the muck and learn to fly high once again. The Dracaena that comes in next, the one that will bring Joe Biden's inauguration, is the Lamette leadership-oriented Tresina, the last one in the 260-day cycle. That will be posted in my blog on January 16th, just before that event. The related podcast will be posted shortly thereafter. I want to conclude with a passage written by T.E. Lawrence from his book titled Seven Pillars of Wisdom. Here it is. We were fond together because of the sweep of open places, the taste of wide winds, the sunlight, and the hopes in which we worked. The morning freshness of the world to be intoxicated us. We were wrought up with ideas inexpressible and vaporous, but to be fought for. We lived many lives in those whirling campaigns, never sparing ourselves. Yet when we achieved and the new world dawned, the old men came out again and took our victory to remake in the likeness of the former world they knew. Youth could win, but had not learned to keep, and was pitiably weak against age. We stammered that we had worked for a new heaven and a new earth, and they thanked us kindly and made their peace. Interesting thoughts from this legendary Men Tresina native, one of the many memorable warriors born during this energy zone, like Kamala, who is embarking on an amazing adventure in just a few days. We wish her and Joe well. We'll pick this up again in the transition zone just before the inauguration. Until then, keep safe and keep your lightsabers at the ready. Love to you all.